SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Friday from Las Vegas. Race fans, Sirius 219 XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, too, SteveBick.com, which will be your home for NHC 19 coverage. And that will start at 2 o'clock today. We'll do our weekend preview edition here now till noon Eastern. 9 o'clock Pacific, which happens to be the first post at Gulfstream. Noon today gets things going in the National Horse Players Championship. And yesterday, the activity here was more spirited, I think, than usual. They had a mammoth participation. 300 plus entries yesterday. When I looked up, the board was only showing some of the early registrants. By the time things kicked off yesterday, over 300. And so 12 last chance seats were acquired. And a lot of them were second seats for players, including John Nichols, who we'll get to in a minute. John wouldn't mind not cashing. He wants to cash tickets and he wants to win everything, but he's already had himself a week and a weekend after yesterday. Ended up fifth in the last chance first chance, but he had a pretty good day at Gulfstream. The rest of that action, 12 qualifiers and then 3 for next year for the 2020 NHC. And there were some fun stories. Yesterday, I think I mentioned Chris Dewey from the Capital District. And Chris and his girlfriend, last year, Chris had 2 seats. She had 1. This year, they got here with just her having 1. And Chris said, I gotta get in tomorrow. Sure enough, Chris Dewey lands himself a last chance. And there was also the unbelievable story, and I'm surprised it didn't get more traction online yesterday, last evening. Michael Labriola, for the 4th straight year, got a seat yesterday in the last chance. 4 straight years he's come here. And I'm not sure if there were any years when he didn't have a seat when he got to Vegas, and I'm not sure if this was one of those years, but 4 straight years to land a seat in the last chance tournament is just, it's unbelievable. What can you say? I thought that was great. Lauren Weiss, of course, one of the Woodbine Sharpies. What can you say? And of course, Lauren and Ray Arsenault. If you go back a couple of weeks when Ray visited before Pegasus Betting Challenge, and Lauren and Lauren's longtime association with Magna, the auto parts part of it, and the Stronach businesses in Canada and throughout the world, and Lauren. And Ray, of course, really responsible for the betting challenge for the Pegasus Day action. And a lot of people I've already seen here in 36 hours that were participants, including, of course, winner Preston Sims. Preston's going to be sitting about 3 or 4 tables over. There's a few elements that are a little not different, but the seating portion that came up with Keith Shamblin, the new ballroom downstairs, it is going to make for a kind of a new wrinkle, because while the activity here in the main ballroom, and I just put a picture up of the nearly empty ballroom. The one player very quietly, and probably doesn't like me yapping over here, but one player sitting at a table, otherwise an empty ballroom. And really within about an hour, things will start to fill right up. But this new ballroom downstairs, very different from the ante rooms that were across the hall that were, you know, had about, I don't know, maybe 18 tables, a full ballroom downstairs now, and you will not see, I would say, maybe 40%, 35, probably about 40% of the field will be down in the lower ballroom. So Pete and I will figure that out and come up with a way to make sure to cycle through, you know, some of the players that will be downstairs, including some of our regulars like the Matisse brothers and Nick Tamro. They'll be downstairs, and we'll talk to Nick, of course, in this morning's edition of the weekend preview. But as many as possible. Tom Quigley, who's here, of course, playing, and Quigley will join us as well in hour three this morning. In fact, let me give you that rundown. I started to send out a tweet with the lineup, and it's a typical morning, of course, with plenty of good action. Tampa really being the focus, and the four stakes of Tampa came up really, really nice. And the more we talk about them and look at them, the more intriguing it gets. Nick is going to look at it. We'll do a game builder with those races. But Marty McGee, Marty got to Tampa the other day, and he's been providing the coverage. He's been doing the Hermes selections in the Daily Racing Form, and we'll talk to Marty after the first break. Jay Pridman will check in, and if you haven't had a chance to read through the Road to the Derby analysis of the Withers and the Lewis and the Holy Bull, you can do that at DRF. And, of course, Jay, with the sort of the expanded, I describe him the same way, the expanded race comments, chart comments, more or less, and Jay gets in and editorializes in addition to talking about the trip and the information that Jay puts in here. And it's all, you know, in the Road to the Derby grid at DRF.com. You can pull up the charts, and it's really the handiest, easiest one stop. So we'll get Jay's thoughts about last week's stakes. We'll get some other thoughts from Jay, some of the under the radar horses, as well as the future wager. And of course, Marty covers the future wager, so we'll touch on that with him as well. And Jay also put together the Triple Crown nomination storyline. So first hour, Jay and Marty, then Nick Tamburo. We'll check in with Hammer, and we got the worst news. Unbelievable. Yesterday, waiting for the standings to go official in the last chance, first chance, and it's kind of kicking things around with I guess it's really Santa Anita Central, because it's got Big Leo and Vukmanovic and James Leal and Quigley, and they were all there, Tom Lute. And I was telling them that Hammer's coming, and they were so looking forward to Rick finally getting a chance to come to NHC. And literally, as I'm standing there, I get a text and a photograph of Hammer at a body shop where the car had been rammed from behind. And so he said, "I got a scratch," and was disappointed. But we'll talk to Hammer. And, maybe Hammer could contribute to getting the Santa Anita Sunday card drawn, which, if you didn't see, last night after we came back from dinner, I went to go print out the San Vicente, and there was no San Vicente. And I'm looking and poking and prodding. I can't find. Sure enough, they were unable to put the card together for Sunday. And they'll try again today. I guess they went, fairly late in the afternoon before they called it on account of darkness. And a weekend card like that to struggle to fill is a little disconcerting. We'll see. And of course, later today, the Sunday mandatories will, you know, be issued. But anyway, we'll talk to Hammer and Ed DeRosa, who's here on site. Ed providing PP information and any kind of support that the BrisNet team can. We'll get Ed's thoughts on being here. And I'll keep an eye out for Seth, too. I thought maybe by yesterday I'd see Seth Merrow, but certainly Seth will swing through. Rich Eng, not necessarily for the morning show, but once we start our coverage, 2 o'clock, and we'll see what how much we can get Rich to sit down with us. And I haven't seen Pete yet either, actually, but I know he got in yesterday afternoon. So as soon as Pete shows up, we'll put him to work. Jonathan Kitchen. Jonathan will swing through, and we'll talk to him. And Quigley, I mentioned, top of hour 3. Mike Mulvihill from Fox Sports. Absolutely. Michael is going to join us, and that'll be at about 11:20 Eastern. He will probably be stuck in traffic somewhere. And I'm looking forward to talking to him. I've wanted to get Michael on for ages, ever since Fox really latched on to racing as a content source, and their support of the game has really been strong. And we've mentioned before, it's come up before, of course, Jim Mulvihill, who worked at Fairgrounds Communications, worked NTRA, now with Churchill. It's Jim's brother. And Mike Mulvihill loves the game, and he has really been instrumental in Saturday at the races and the expanded content and scheduling for the spring, the road to the Triple Crown season. So Mike Mulvihill, looking forward to that. And Mike Welch in hour 3 as well. We'll get some Gulfstream thoughts from Welch. The mandatories today, and perfect timing for our coverage when we kick off at 2, at 2:15, the Tampa 4th will be the first of the mandatories. And, of course, we'll play those, and we'll play some selected races. That's one of the fun parts about the afternoon coverage today, tomorrow, and Sunday. You'll hear a ton of stakes races and some of the big allowance and maiden affairs. Just looking for some of the things from yesterday. We'll feather those in as we hit the circuit. Reminder of tonight. I bet you DeRosa will have looked at the Battaglia tonight. Don't forget about the Battaglia. 8:12 Eastern tonight. And among the stakes tomorrow, and there is, you know, there, I got to check with, I should check with Keith Shamblin. There has typically been, there's a public contest for the mandatories. I haven't seen anything for that, actually, now that I think about it. I'll find out. But among the stakes tomorrow, the El Prado at Santa Anita, the San Marcos, and the Suncoast, all part of the mandatories, which is cool. Let's take a break. Marty McGee kicks off the weekend preview edition. We're live at the Treasure Island, Las Vegas, NHC 19.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here. and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Going to Vegas, but already here, and everybody, I hope, made it and didn't have any difficulties getting in that little weather hiccup midweek. But certainly Marty McGee didn't have any issue. All he had to do was cut across Florida and get to Tampa from the other side of the coast. And you've heard my story a million times about going from Boynton years ago to Tampa to see Kicking and Screaming run, and the funniest part of that was the Swamp Cabbage Festival that we ran into at the base of Lake Okeechobee, and the traffic. It was like, what's going on here? And the whole town. I'm going to forget the name of the town that the right at the base of the lake, and they wade in and they chop out the royal palm, and they boil it and eat it. That's like Phil in Groundhog Day. They take the chuck of the woodchuck out and they ate it. I remember when Groundhog Day meant something in this town, but this was the Swamp Cabbage Festival, and Marty McGee. I don't think Marty's ever run into the to the Swamp Cabbage Festival. Marty, good morning.
No, I have not, Vic.
That was Proctor sent me. I had to cut across from Boynton and go to Tampa, and I went to the resource, the Tampa, to get to Tampa, which was Tommy Proctor, and he gave me directions, and the directions were great until we ran into the festival and got stuck for about 45 minutes getting through little town.
I've gone that way one time. It's the way where you go the northern way as opposed to Alligator Alley.
Yes. Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
I stopped off, I think, in Lakeland for a Orioles-Tigers tilt.
Absolutely.
That was a year or two ago, yeah.
Are they still? LaBelle, Florida is the town. LaBelle, Florida, the Swamp Cabbage Festival. are the Tigers still in Lakeland?
Yeah.
Wow.
They are. There's a whole bunch of them over here on this coast. There's probably, I don't know, six or eight of these teams winter on this coast, as opposed to over there on the West Palm is the closest one to Fort Lauderdale now that the Orioles left about 10 years ago, and the Orioles are now in Sarasota. But you know, it has become like all sports; they kind of just hold the towns hostage for whatever they can get out of them, and if they don't give them what they want, they move. So, just par.
I can remember, I mentioned the other last week about going to Orlando with my parents, and my mother was at Disney just had opened, and we went somewhere in Orlando to a restaurant, and all the Minnesota Twins were there. They were either in, because at the time they were either in Orlando, Kissimmee, or wherever they were. The Astros, of course, associated with Kissimmee forever, but there were all kinds of Twins in there. And this has got to be 1970 era, you know. So Killebrew and assorted. It was very cool. I remember being. I was like 11, so it was pretty neat. That's my. And I don't know where the Twins are these days either. That they may have. I remember we went to Port St. Lucie. We stayed in Port St. Lucie right when the Mets had made their move to Port St. Lucie from St. Pete.
Yeah, I think the Mets are on the Atlantic coast now.
Yeah.
Was Zoilo Barsalis there, though, when you saw all the Twins?
Zoilo, look at you. I, one year, I must have gotten 8 or 9 Zoilo Barsalis cards. Every year, when you were collecting, you'd get one player that you, every time you opened a pack, there he was.
Yeah. I think I got Don Mincher a lot when he was with the Senators.
With that batting helmet, right? He would have the picture with the batting helmet on. We never know what direction these conversations go. Marty McGee, of course, keeping tabs on Tampa for the Forum. And Marty, this is as good a card away from Tampa Bay Derby Day as you'll ever see. I thought this was just spectacular. You got those two maiden races that come ahead of the stakes sequence, and then the stakes sequence is dynamite.
Yeah, it is. I mean, well, the guys out there playing in the tournament, are these races subject to their bets?
Oh, sure, absolutely. And the Suncoast, strangely, the stake that they picked for the contest was the Suncoast. That kind of surprised me.
Well, it's the most wide open of the four, I would think. You've got Heart to Heart in the Tampa Bay, and now that Rimska has scratched, I just put that on Twitter that Chad texted me back that Rimska runs instead at Gulfstream and not here tomorrow at Tampa in the Endeavor. It looks like that makes Hawksmoor close to even money. And then you've got Nick Go. He's got to be close to even money, I would guess, in the Davis. I mean, they've got him listed 5-2. I don't know if that's happening, but, you know, the way that Ben Colbrook's talking about how well he's trained and all that. So, and he does draw inside, and he should make the lead, so.
Well, let's actually dig in and talk. Might as well talk about the Sam Davis, and then we'll work our way backwards from it. And K-Nix, which every time now I see the name, I think of your quip about Ralph. that was hysterical about K-Nix. And you know, the rest of this group trying to jump in. And you know, Cave Run found himself in a difficult position chasing in the Pasco. And, of course, win, Trombetta and Mrs. Weber, they're going to wait for the Tampa Bay Derby. But I would think that this is what Cave Run really wants, the two turns.
He probably does. I haven't had a chance to. Owen's usually not here too much, and so I haven't had to talk to their camp. But I did have a chance to talk to Ben Colebrook at length about K-Next Go. And, you know, they're just kind of putting a line through that Kentucky Jockey Club that ended the season on a sour note. But the two races before that obviously were dynamite. If he runs back to either one of those races, the way he wired them first in the Breeders' Futurity at 70-1, then ran a big second behind Game Winner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at 40-1. I think he's got to be real tough in there. You know, one of the quotes I used from Ben was that the horse, in his mind, really gets over the Tampa surface real well. So if he just waits, if he breaks sharply, waits for this Looch Maiden going for gold to go on and get tired and takes over, and he does have a very capable pilot in Albin Jimenez, I think it's K-Next Go, his race to lose.
There's some interest and some chatter as well, of course, about the Pletcher, Super Saver, the LaPenta, the sibling, So Alive, and Kentucky Wildcat getting plenty of notice.
Yeah. You know, I picked So Alive. His race at Keeneland on closing day of the fall meet was just spectacular. I still can't believe he won that day. And then he disappointed in the Churchill slot, and then he came back and won an allowance race. And as Todd Pletcher has often done, he's using Tampa, ships these horses over from Palm Beach, and uses Tampa for kind of a proving ground, kind of a testing center for these horses. And So Alive ran real well. He's getting an education. I got a text from Todd about this horse, and he just said, we think he's got a lot of upside and things like that. So I think one of the real sleepers in this race and unknowns in here, Steve, is the horse right next to him, and that's Well Defined, who's adding blinkers for Kathleen O'Connell. She's been very disappointed, obviously, with both his efforts in the juvenile and the Mucho Macho Man to after those big efforts in the restricted races against Florida Breds in the Stallion Series Stakes. So I think she's really wanting him to go on and show that he's better than those last two. And he's, you know, again, he's one of the sleepers in the field.
Well, So Alive and LaPenta, this, of course, the brother of Vino Rosso, the half. You know, the horse that I thought was also worth a little bit of a mention, it was Five Star General for Arno Delacour. This is, of course, the Justified team, almost the complete Justified team partnership. And this is a Distorted Humor colt out of a Bernardini mare. And, in fact, the Bernardini mares are peppering this race because Cave Run out of a Bernardini mare as well. But Five Star General kind of intrigued me a little bit.
Well, they've got him in 4-1 second choice. I don't know what he beat in that Thanksgiving Day race at Aqueduct, which was his last start, but he's trained real well down here at Tampa. He's got three bullets for Delacour. He's got Jose Ortiz, who's here riding every race, except he'll be out of the Endeavor now with Rimska apparently going to scratch. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure that the Windstar folks are excited about this horse. The Distorted Humor is over the years. I mean, he's just had so many tough, fast horses. He's been an incredible sire, so you can't ever really discount one of his horses either.
All right, let's back up out of the Sam Davis. And I should mention, Marty, that for whatever reason, there's no all-stake pick four. They are doing a pick five that starts with the Tampa Bay and then goes through the nightcap, and I didn't really get the decision not to put the four stakes together in a quad.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to pick four on races 9 through 12, and like you said, they got to pick five races 8 through 12, but the all stakes are races 8 through 11, and we asked the staff here at DRF, we asked, are you going to have an all stakes pick four, and the answer was no, and I don't know why, but just if you want to go ahead and play an all-stakes pick four and then single Richie Averill in the last race, number one, Adios Nardo, I think you're welcome to do that, Vic.
Well, then, you know what? I suppose we should, when Rich walks into the ballroom in a little bit to get ready for the day one of the contest, we should maybe get a confirmation from him himself about that's a good idea. I'm glad you brought him up. And
he says he's the best entering owner in the country. So there you go. It looks like this horse is in a good spot.
Very good. Well, that'll help people for the tickets. And of course, Naira has got the cross country pick five, which will give the layout. It also includes race from Oaklawn, so Tampa, New York, and Oaklawn in that pick five. Let's look at the Endeavor, and of course now, as you mentioned, with Rimska taking a pass, and she does look almost unbeatable in the Suwannee River, but that certainly helps this race.
It does, and they had laid the guy here, John Rose is his name, who does the odds. He had Rimska 5-2. I thought that was a little high. But anyway, Hawksmore, he had 3-1. She's got to go down to even money, even though the one thing against her, Steve, she hasn't won since she won the Grade 2 New York on Belmont Week of 2017. But she has knocked heads with some real good ones like Sister Charlie and New Money Honey and a whole bunch of the Chads. So she too, like her stablemate in the Davis, Hawksmore has been working right along here at Tampa. She's got to be the one to beat just on class alone. And Javier Castellano, he too is coming over from the other coast to ride here tomorrow.
Yeah, there's at least one other, two other names to bring forward here that have run races that are good enough to compete seriously with Hawksmore. And the first one to bring up probably is Ian Wilkes with Bonnie Arch. And, you know, you look at that race at a couple of races, you know, the Ellis Park win, the Ellis Park turf race, the Kentucky Downs preview at Ellis was competitive when she got beat by I'm Betty G. I mean, she actually... And I don't have where's my morning line? I don't have that page for some reason.
15 to 1.
15 to 1.
She'll go down 15 to 1. She'll go down because A, Rimska's out, and
right.
She has Gallardo on her, who's always a big money draw here.
Well, and Ian Wilkes and Gallardo are 5 for 11. So absolutely. You know, there's also Goodyear for Roses, who's been gone for a long time and makes a first start in the care of Brian House. And I also thought, another horse that was a recent move, Viva Vegas from Maribel with Nacho Correas. And, of course, Derek Ryan had Viva Vegas, who's now 5. And, you know, she's run some decent Grade 3 type races that could fit. This is Hawksmore, the horse to beat, but she's not alone out there.
Yeah, I think Hawksmore's going to win. She's going to be my single. She's better than Torture.
All right.
I guess Goodyear for Roses way back when, but I don't know what the backstory is on her resurfacing as a 7-year-old, but she's at a big disadvantage here, I would think.
Let's talk about the Suncoast, and you called it pretty wide open, and there's some interesting numbers in here too on the page. You know, you got a single time start type like Lady Kate, Eddie Keneally. She's 6-1. Tappet's Princess, Happy Altar. Look at Happy. She's okay in here. Then there's Twixt and Shout for Owen Hardy and Godolphin, the discreet cat daughter. What you doing here?
Well, there are 9 fillies in here, Steve, and I think 7 of them all have a real legit chance to win. I didn't think that Winning Envelope, who's going turf the dirt and has never run on the dirt for Chris Block, I thought she'd be a bigger number than 7-2, which is what they've laid her on the line. She was really terrific in that Churchill allowance win over the grass, and she's got a little more experience than some of the other contenders in here. Point of Honor, her race at Gulfstream looks good until you realize it was an off-the-turf kind of maiden race, so that kind of tempers my enthusiasm for her, although she might be okay. You know, Stidham has done great down here, 26 out of 49 first or second with his starters here at the Tampa meet, and he's got Sweet Diane in there as a legit contender with Gallardo to run. So, you know, a lot of countries to be heard from in this race. And it is, by the way, I don't know if this happens with the Derby, except for maybe the overseas races, but this is an ungraded race, and yet there are Oaks points at stake.
Right.
The 10-4-2-1. And I kind of got caught off guard by that last year when I assumed it wasn't, and Dale won the race, and he said, "Hey, you're not giving me my 10 points credit." So, yeah.
All right. And the stakes sequence starts with the Tampa Bay. And we got some very familiar names. You started with Heart to Heart, but Inspector Lindley and Kelly Rubley, after wavering, went ahead and entered Divisadero. And there's been a couple of spots where Divisadero had been rumored here over the last month or so and lands here.
You know, if Heart to Heart breaks, I mean, he's got to be tough. He's so salty when he's on the lead, loping along the way he has, the way we know he's done. Brian Lynch insists that this horse is the same horse. And you really can't put a lot of credence in that last effort because he broke poorly. I even called Julian about this, Julian Lefferu, and said, what is going on? And he said, it's not me. It's not the gate crew. It's not Brian. It's just something in this horse's head. I think he's done it probably four or five times over the last few years, where he blows the break and then, you know, they're off, you lose, that kind of thing. So,
yep.
But if he breaks sharp, I think he's going to dominate the race, Steve. Even though there are a number of horses in here who, buyer-wise and class-wise, do match up. You did mention Divisadero. I looked up his all 23 of his races, and 12 of them he's gotten a 100 buyer or better. That's pretty remarkable. It seems like, though, going a mile and 16th, he's a little bit at a disadvantage pace-wise when a horse like Heart to Heart can go out and walk the dog. So you've also got Kurban for Kieran. You've got the good horse for Shug with really good buyers, Inspector Lindley, who gets Jose Ortiz. And you've also got Grand Motion with Irish Strait, who ran a big race in an allowance race designed as a prep for this. So it's a pretty salty race.
Absolutely. And for Mrs. De Tomaso, Irish Strait, now the 7-year-old gelding, and the Irish War Cry Sib, the unbelievable success that Mrs. De Tomaso's had with the mare and with her, you know, narrow band. And of course, her sister, too, Hope Jones, similar run of success. And we'll watch for this sequence that also includes a couple of good maiden races, maiden fillies going the fourth, a group of 11, and you've got the boys going 6.5, the girls are going 7. You got a couple of allowance races as well. I mean, this is really a dynamite card start to finish at Tampa. Weather's clear, right? We got no issues on that front.
Yeah, low 70s, mostly sunny, so we're going to be good tomorrow.
Sweet. While we got you, Mark, too, of course, you track the Kentucky Derby future wagers, and we hit a couple of the highlights yesterday. Anything to add about the KDFW?
No, we go start today at noon Eastern, close as usual at Sunday at 6 Eastern. The last year, the field at this particular pool was 5-2. That's what the morning line is set. They've got to be about that. You know, it's last year this time, Justify hadn't even run yet. So that's why people, I think out of the last 20 years, Steve, I think the field for this time of year used to be pool one, now pool two. I think the field's won 11 or 12 times. So there's a lot of interesting horses here. I think it's good futures-wise in that there's only one of the 23 separately listed entrants are in a race that's happening this weekend. That's Nick's Go, or K-Nick's Go. But otherwise, it's a true futures bet in that, you know, the spirit of the bet that you got to look ahead and make your bet.
Well, and, you know, not many participants from this weekend, so this is kind of a fun pool because, you know, there isn't any, you know, any movement on Sunday afternoon that'll be based on, you know, on too many of the performers over the weekend. We'll look forward to it. And, Mart, I should also mention, I keep reminding everybody, the Battaglia tonight at Turfway is worth keeping an eye on.
Byron's covering that, Byron King. But you know what? They've got Some Like It Hot Brown, who purposely missed the race last week, the Dania Beach, to run in this race with the intent of going forward for Mike Maker to the Spiral and getting some Derby points that way. Because those guys, Doc Diamond and Jimmy Shercliffe and Dave Koenig, they love to run in the Derby. You know, even if they don't, they've run five times. I looked it up, five times since 2011. Those guys have owned most or part of a Derby horse, so they want to come in kind of the sideway back door with Some Like It Hot Brown. I imagine he's got to be a pretty solid favorite in there.
Wesley's. I thought Wesley's involvement was notable here as well, and Arno Delacour sends a Team Valor, a colt by Bungle in the Jungle, French bred. This is a nice field for $75,000. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, Shades of Animal Kingdom.
There you go.
Sending him there to Turfway.
Absolutely. Well, Marty, have a great time, and looking forward to Tampa Bay Derby week when I'll be there with you, and we'll have some fun. I'm gonna take you over to Christino's.
I'm gonna try to go to Christino's today. We went to Clearwater yesterday, but my buddy had pizza the night before, so we took a pass. So we're gonna go back over today.
There you go. Well done. Marty McGee, everybody, DRF McGee, with your coverage at Oldsmar, the little track that could, Tampa Bay Downs. Enjoy. Marty, thanks a lot.
Thanks, buddy.
Marty McGee. Let's take a break. Come right back. And Jay Pridman standing by. We'll do some recapping of last weekend with Jay. And we'll see what's on his agenda. Watching, you know, a couple of the important spots that may not be stakes. How about that allowance, of course, at Gulfstream, that is going to be one of the highlights of the weekend, as I try to go and find in this ridiculous pile of PPs. There's Gulfstream, the 10th tomorrow, where Standard Deviation and Global Campaign collide. And, you know, last night when I was looking through this, the horse of Joe Orsino's that won by seven, and this is a horse that, you know, took a while to break its maiden and had to slip into State Bred 50 company, but then made a quantum leap forward. And that performance, that holds up against this group. So tomorrow, 10th race, mile and a 16th at Gulfstream. And Jimmy Jerkins gets the first start with Awesome DJ, who's been working along at Palm Meadows. The Awesome again, the Adina homebred that Dale Capuano got started. So we'll see what Jay's got. Back after this, Jay Pridman.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Ooh, Las Vegas, ain't no place for a pro like me.
We're back at the races, Treasure Island, Las Vegas. Jay Brimman standing by. Jay, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Have fun in Vegas.
Thank you. Have you ever had an NHC visit over the years?
Early on in its iteration, when our company proudly launched it and sponsored it, I was there a couple of times. I think it's a great event.
Looking forward to getting going here at noon Eastern, 9 o'clock Pacific. Gulfstream kicks it off, and the 8 racetracks that host. And ultimately, Santa Anita and Golden Gate will flicker onto the screens, and we'll start our coverage 2 o'clock Eastern. We'll go to about 7:30 each of the next 3 days. Jay, the coverage last week, of course, was really extensive Saturday of racing with the three preps. I pushed everybody toward the Road to the Derby coverage, and your postscripts to the stakes, the Lewis and the Holy Bull and the Withers. Some thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm waiting for somebody to wow me. It hasn't happened yet. I think the best of the performances last week was by Mucho Gusto and the Robert Lewis, but it was run over a track that I just think he really relished, and I don't think he's better than Game Winner or Improbable in that barn, let alone the rest of the nation right now. So his race was good. It was solid. I don't know that he wants a mile and a quarter, but I thought he ran a good race last week, but I thought the race was his to lose based on the way the race shaped up and who he was running against. And like I said, I really think that the track condition also helped flatter his style that day. As for the Withers, as I wrote in my analysis, I'm still a little skeptical over if that fig's going to hold up. I know it makes sense based on the track variant for the day and the speed of the race and the way that
obviously figs are calculated, but so many horses made giant leaps in that race, especially the third place finisher, our brain trust, that I'm just a little bit skeptical as to how, as to whether or not this race is going to hold up. The fig was strong. It was a 96, and that's right up there with among the best that we've seen from this crop so far. Then, you know, the Holy Bull was just an ugly race. There's no other way to put it. I mean, the only thing that was pretty about that race was Brian Hernandez's ride. I'd written in some earlier analysis of prep races, or a couple other times, where he just wowed me with some of his ground-saving rides, most notably on Signal Man in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. I'd really encourage your listeners to go back and watch that race, because it's an unbelievable ride. And everybody always, you watch a race on TV and the horse wins, and everybody's like, oh, what a great ride by the jockey. And sometimes all you just need to do is hang on. But Signal Man finished third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and he had no business finishing third. The only way he finished third was because of the ride that Brian gave him from an outside box and saving ground. He saved ground on Harvey Wallbanger the other day and got up in time. I thought Maximus Mischief was kind of out of sorts. He was reluctant briefly to load. He was washy. His ears were pinned going down the backstretch. Just for whatever reason, something was up with him that day. And he's better than that, but I need to see him bounce back. And I need to see everybody from that field take a big step forward. So we'll see what the coming weeks, including tomorrow in the Sam Davis, bring us, if anything.
Before we talk Sam Davis and the Gulfstream Allowance race and anything else, any other events of note that people, horses that came out of the weekend and the week last?
Regarding the Derby horses?
Yeah, any of the maiden types and allowance events. I mean, obviously, this race tomorrow at Gulfstream has got ramifications, and we also got some seeming decisions from Bill Mott with Hidden Scroll pushing toward Fountain of Youth now, and just new kind of the notebook. Jay, anything else before we handicap a little?
Yeah, and what I wrote yesterday, you're alluding to a story on. I talked to Bill Mott yesterday, and he said that Hidden Scroll, that runaway maiden winner on the Pegasus undercard, is going to come back in the Fountain of Youth. So he's obviously on the fast track towards trying to make the Kentucky Derby. And Bill's not one to push horses like that. So if he's entertaining that thought, that tells you what he thinks of this horse. And I also talked to Shug McGee yesterday, and he's going to put Code of Honor into the Fountain of Youth. He said he worked really well on Tuesday. John Velasquez went up and breezed him. And they were really happy with the way he went, and so they're going to give him a chance to bounce back from his disappointing race in the Mucho Macho Man. And the Fountain of Youth is shaping up as just a really good race right now, because you've got Bourbon War, who I thought was a really nice winner for Mark Hennig in an allowance race last month. You've got Vekoma, the Nashville winner, who was 2-for-2 last year, is going to make his first start of the year. Signal Man might end up in that race, or he might go to the Tampa Bay Derby. That's what Kenny McPeak told me yesterday. Maximus Mischief and Harvey Wallbanger are under consideration for the race. And then you've got Network Effect potentially in play for that race. He was the Remsen runner-up, and Chad Brown told me he might go in the Fountain of Youth, or if he needs another week, he's just going to go to New York for the Gotham on March 9th. So that's kind of an overview of some horses that they're looking to run in early March.
Well, that's a tell you what, even if they all don't make it, that'll be an important tilt, no doubt, coming up nice. All right, well, also, of course, the nominations, the first round of $600 nominees, 362, and you kind of collated that and did some sifting and sorting, and all the usual suspects were lined up in there, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there was any surprise. I always look to see if there's any top horses who didn't get nominated, and the only couple who weren't on there were horses I didn't really think they were going to try and turn into two-turn horses. Complexity, who didn't run well in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, he wasn't nominated, and he hasn't breezed, so he's obviously still a work in progress for his three-year-old campaign anyway. But Carl Pault wasn't nominated, and it looks like they've made the I think correct decision that he's a late running sprinter, and they'll do that. I mean, they can always change their mind and put him in for $6,000 by April 1st, but it looks to me like that's what he wants to do, which it flattered him last week, when he ran in the swale. So I think those are smart moves. And there were some horses that were sharp maiden winners last summer who I haven't seen since, and you think maybe if they're going to make late bids for the Derby, they might, or even the Triple Crown race, they might be nominated. But, a horse like Tail of the Union wasn't nominated, so obviously he's still a ways off from getting back to breezing and racing, horses like that. So, but other than that, I mean, all the, it was like Casablanca, all the usual suspects were in Rick's Cafe.
Well, turn our attention to the weekend, Jay, and the Sam Davis just had Marty on from the west coast of Florida, and terrific card lined up at Tampa start to finish. The Davis, K-Nix Go, who feels like he's got something to prove, as good as he was at two.
Yeah, I mean, he ran two really good races and several just moderate races or worse. His Breeders' Cup Juvenile was terrific against Game Winner, but he bounced off that race when he had a couple of hard races. He ran big in the Breeders' Futurity and then the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and it caught up with him when they wheeled him back 3 weeks later in the Kentucky Jockey Club. He was pretty awful that day. But I'm willing to give him a mulligan for that because I just think he was just brought back too soon after a couple of pretty big efforts. So this will be a good chance for him to hit the reset button. It's an okay field. I mean, if he's really a top Derby prospect, he's supposed to run well in here. But there's a couple others in here that intrigue me, and they're both Godolphin runners for different trainers. One of them is Cave Run for Owen Hardy, who I'm looking forward to seeing that horse stretch out. He's by Street Sense. He's out of a Bernardini mare, so he's supposed to do better with more distance, and he sprinted so far in his most recent sprint. In the past, obviously he had no chance in there running against Win Win Win, who just blew everybody out of the water that day. And then Kentucky Wildcat intrigues me as well. The Tappet Colt out of a Ghost Zapper mare, who ran three times in New York, but really showed improvement, I thought, Steve, when he added Lasix after his first start. His second and third starts were improving. He just seems like a progressive colt. He has sort of the classic pattern of getting a little bit of a break after his third and final start at two, and I'm eager to see where he picks up from where he left off, because he looked like he was starting to get really good, and if he continues that progress, I think he's very dangerous tomorrow.
And he does also feel like a Tom Albertrani style, where Albertrani's not tightening any screws in July, August on a two-year-old. And despite that, he ran credibly in Code of Honor's maiden win, and then came back and showed improvement when, going the extended sprint, one turn mile and a 16th at Belmont, and then the win at Aqueduct. So he's got everything going for him from a pedigree standpoint. I mean, Better Lucky was wonderful, and it kind of excited for Tom to have a horse like this again. I think his last Derby Trail 3-year-old, probably Brilliant Speed, I would imagine, comes to mind for Mrs. Weber. So nice group and a great anchor leg, not of the multi-race wagers, but certainly the highlight at the end of the stakes sequence at Tampa. Jay, how about that allowance at the Gulfstream, the 10th race?
I mean, the horse I'm most interested in there is Global Campaign. His only race, I guess, I should say, was really good, and he's supposed to be fine going two turns, being by Curlin. So that, and we were talking just a few moments ago about all those horses that look like they could run in the Fountain of Youth. Well, certainly there's horses in that race tomorrow who, if they perform well, could conceivably wheel back in the Fountain of Youth as well. So, but Global Campaign is to me the marquee horse in that race.
Well, and standard deviation for Chad and Seth Klarman, that he's smoking hot. Looks like he's okay for Joe Orsino, as we mentioned. But, boy, it would be a lot of fun to have Stan Huff immerse into the Triple Crown Trail, the surprise resumption of his terrific training career. Jay, nice weekend here, and looking forward to it. And things continue to perk along as we get into the mid-February portion, and some big things ahead. And when do you expect you and Watch to kick off the Derby Watch list?
Yeah, it's 5 days away, so on Wednesday of next week we'll have our initial top 20 of the year. We've got a working list. It's just going to be tweaked based on what happens over the weekend, if anything. But we've got our working list already and ready to unveil it, and really proud of what the service that we provide in terms of telling people where horses are going to run next and giving them honest assessments of horses. We do not think all 20 can win the Kentucky Derby. So I hope people will check it out again for our next installment, annual installment, starting on Wednesday online, and it'll be in the print edition of the Friday paper.
Excellent. And I would ask you about the San Vicente, but we don't have a field drawn to discuss.
No, not yet. Coliseum's supposed to run in there. This is what happens when there's too many horses and too few barns. You just don't get enough participation in a race like this. You know, there were 14 horses nominated, and there were only four in the box yesterday. So hopefully they can get a fifth. But even if they don't, you run it with four and just move these horses along, because you got to move them along towards the San Felipe and the San Anita Derby.
Exactly. Jay Brimman, everybody, DRF Brimman, and we look forward to Derby Watch 2019 on Wednesday, and we'll talk to Jay next week. Jay, appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Jay Brimman. Let's take a break right at the top of the hour here, and ballroom starting to fill up, a little bit of breakfast, a little bit of coffee, and the players now 2 hours away from the start of NHC 19. Nick Tamaro in about 15 minutes. Jonathan Kinchin will be with him. And then we've got visits from Hammer and Ed DeRosa, Tom Quigley, Mike Mulvihill, as promised, and Mike Welch, if we have time for Mike at the end of the show. But actually, Case, right now, let's slip Dick Powell's visit in from yesterday, a little Hong Kong action, and we'll get a quick hi from Dick next before we continue here in Vegas with Jonathan and Nick Tamaro. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats, or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15, and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.